Good morning. Today we're going to start the sugya of shutvim. Shutvis in general is a machlokes waiting to happen. When two people get together, they try to do business. In general, everyone is convinced they are the shrewdest of businessmen. And the reality is you have two people, different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses, different styles. Over time, these issues become more and more problematic, and more often than not, every shutvis eventually falls apart. Now, that being said, most people do not have much of a choice. When you're starting out, you usually need help. Whatever your strengths are, you usually have to bring in someone else to complement you, whether it's to bring in capital, whether it's just you know, another person to help out. So you generally don't have a choice. But if there's one thing to take away for after we finish the Hilchos Shutvim, is that before going into a shutvis, the most important thing is to sit down with a good attorney, a dayan, whatever it is, discuss, speak out the terms of the partnership. All too often, you have two young people and they have a great idea. Let's be partners. We'll go 50-50 on the profits, and that's it. They don't discuss what will happen if there are losses. They don't talk about what it will be if they need new capital. They don't discuss their responsibilities. And these things, over time, you end up with a machlokes. So the most important thing to do and the most important thing to know about a shutvis is before you begin, map out what each person's responsibilities are, what their rights are, and perhaps most importantly, what's the exit strategy if things sour. Now, as we're going to see, much of Hilchos Shutvis, there's not much, at least for today's shiur, is not based on Gemara very much. It comes from a Tosefta, from Rambams. And much of it will depend on the minhag, which we'll discuss as we go in. We'll first start with the halacha, and then we'll discuss a little bit of what some of the minhagim today are. The first chiddush in Hilchos Shutvis is you have a partnership, and you have three partners. You're running the business, and a question comes up. So, two partners say, let's do it one way. The third says, let's do it another way. What do you do? Now, if you have a shayla and it comes to a bezdin, so in bezdin, achiravim lahatos, we go, dayanim take a vote, and if two dayanim say one way, the other dayan says the other way, we follow the majority. In Hilchos Shutvim, there is no such halacha. There's no achirav, it's not a vote, it's not a democracy. The halacha is, if you want to do something with a shutvis, you need unanimous consent. Everyone has their money in the pot, everyone has their money at stake, and no person or group or block has the right to impose their decision or their preference on the other person. And you're going to have to, in halacha, you have to have unanimous consent for everything that gets done. Now the Aruch HaShulchan writes that if both partners are involved in the business, they're both managing the store together, they have to discuss everything. If they're not together, they're in different cities, or one's a silent partner, the other one's that does the actual management, then as long as you're doing things normal, what you're doing is kederach ha'soichrim, as long as you're following the minhog, you don't have to nudge your partner by every decision. But you have to follow the minhag hasaychem. If you want to do anything creative, that you have no right to do it unless you get everyone's consent. Now this is just begging for a deadlock. If you have two partners, one votes yes, one votes no, you have a problem. And if you have a partnership with many people, it's very hard to get a consensus. There is an interesting tshuva from Blazer Telzer. And what he says is like this. He says, it's true in halacha when we don't follow the majority. And if there's a question what to do, then you have to ask you either have to follow the minhag ha'seichrim, or you have to get everyone's consent. But let's say you have five partners, four of them vote one way, and the other one votes the other way. So you can't force their opinion on the fifth. They have to figure out what the minhag ha'seichrim is. They go to within Torah. What do we do in such a situation? Zechariah Blaise tells her, what's the Beis Din going to do? Does the Beis Din know what the Minhag HaSechrim is? No. So they're going to call people, professionals in the industry, and they're going to ask him, in this situation, what are you supposed to do? Zechariah Blaise tells her, we don't have to. We have four people in the industry telling us, this is what to do. So even though there's no halacha of following the majority, if you have a roiv of the people in the industry saying this is the normal thing to do, we'll listen to them simply because we'll assume they represent the minhag HaSechrim. But if you have a case where that's not true, where it's clear that it's not the minhag, just these people are very gutsy and they want to take a chance, they want to whatever, and they want to do a certain way, then in halacha there's no halacha of following the majority. You need the unanimous consent.
How many people constitute representation?
What he says is, Roiv, it sounds like if you have three people and two say yes and one say no, that's enough. We can assume, you know, just like if Beis Din had to ask three Shamoim, they would ask three people and they would follow the majority and they would assume that represents the Minhag. So in this case as well. Okay, so there is a, so like this, in today's, whenever people draft an operating agreement, one of the most basic things that are there is it sets out who has authority to make decisions, what to do if there's a deadlock, and very often it differentiates. A typical day-to-day decision the manager will make. If you want to sell the business, you need either a supermajority or unanimous. These things are usually spelled out in the operating agreement, and you're completely right. If there is a minhag, you will follow the minhag. But you have to realize, if you're relying on the minhag in a case where it's against halacha, where in halacha you need all, but you're going to say the minhag is to follow the majority, you can only follow the minhag when it's clear. Which means any type of thing which some contracts say majority and some say you need supermajority, you're going to need the supermajority because the minhag has to be across the board and very clear. So you're going to end up, in certain cases, you'll be able to rely on roiv when there's a minhag, but in any questionable case, you're going to have to go ahead. You're going to need everyone's vote. Okay. Mm-hmm. What the Aruch HaShulchan and what in Halacha is discussed is what the minhag is to do in this situation. We look at industry standard how to operate, and you have to follow that. Now, if there is a new minhag that says that whenever you enter into a partnership, you are locked into your partner's business discretion, then, in such a case, if their discretion is to do this even though it runs counter to the minhag, that will probably also govern, because when I went into the partnership, it was with that understanding. But for that to apply, it has to be a very clear minhag. It has to be very clear that every time you have a partnership, majority rules, and we'll follow them even, you know, regardless of what their decision is. Correct. By Davar Shebamamon, whatever you write in the contract is binding, and therefore this is a very good reason. If you need another incentive to write an operating agreement, this is it. Because without an operating agreement, you're going to have a deadlock. Now, another interesting thing, which, you know, I often, you know, when the Beis Din writes shtaros, so one of the basic things you put in is a dispute resolution clause. That if there's any fight, it'll go to Beis Din, you pick a Beis Din, and that avoids tremendous issues later on. When you're dealing with a partnership, it's a good idea, besides a dispute resolution clause, what to do if there's a litigation, if there's a din Torah, it's also a good idea to write in that if there's any question over how, you know, a commercial decision, a business decision, it's a good idea to write in, we're going to consult with a particular businessman, and we're going to follow what he says. And that way you have two partners and they have a disagreement what to do, how to run the business. They don't want to run to Beis Din to have the Beis Din tell them how to run the business. But you pick a specific businessman, you say we're going to follow his judgment. It's a very good idea and can save tremendous problems later on. Now, even if you write in the operating agreement that you're going to follow the majority, there's Maharit that says that when following the majority means you have to, everyone has to have an opportunity to say their daya, to have a vote, and then you'll follow the majority. But if you have three partners, and the operating agreement says we're going to follow the majority, it doesn't mean two partners can just on their own get together and make decisions. It means you have to have a members meeting, or you have to bring up the question and give everyone the opportunity to say their opinion. Because even though this person may be outvoted at the end, he has the right to say his opinion. He has the right to try to lobby the other partners and convince them that he's right. So you need to give them the opportunity. At the end of the day, if you're Makabel, you go by the majority, you'll do that, but you still have to give everyone the opportunity to say their opinion and to try to convince the other partners what to do and how to run the business.
Let's say you're in the Medigas cycle, for example, or in any of these methods of resolution, there's a contract or any of these the methods that you mentioned that would resolve a situation. If one of the partners says, you know, I thought big game, I don't agree, I think this is going to be a terrible thing, you know what, I'm pulling out. Fine, you guys do whatever you want. I'm pulling out with my money, you guys. Can that be done? Does he have a right to do that?
Okay, so generally not. Generally, when you enter into a partnership, we'll discuss, I don't think we'll get to it next week, but probably the week after. When you go into a partnership, you're basically making a commitment. Now, how long the commitment is, we'll have to discuss. It will depend on the case. But you make a commitment. You're putting in the funds. You're making a commitment. You can't just back out. And unless something happens, and again, we'll discuss later on what the parameters are, once you're in, you're in. There is an Aruch HaShulchan, which we'll get to in a moment, that makes an exception when in, you know, the point that you're driving at. And that is, this is the second halacha that I want to discuss. Is normally you follow the Minhag HaSeichron. This is the normal way to do it. You can do it. You don't have to ask questions if this is the way everyone runs the business. The Mechaber writes that HaMishtatevim Chadeir B'Stam, if you enter into a partnership B'Stam, there's no operating agreement. So the halacha is Lo Yishana Minhag HaMedina Ba'isa Yischeiru. You're not allowed to, you have to be consistent with the Minhag. You're not allowed to do anything different. Then the Mechaber adds another halacha. Lo Yimkor B'Hakafa. You cannot sell on credit. Dovor shedarka limacher tami b'hakol. Sorry. Elo dovor shedarka limacher tami b'hakafa. If you want to sell on credit, you can only give credit if it's a thing that everyone always gives credit. Now, what Rishonim explained is that when you sell on credit, you're taking a risk. The buyer may never pay you. Zok the Mechaber, when you're taking a risk, even if it's common, many stores sell on credit, that's not enough. You have no right to take any risk to sell on credit unless everyone in the industry sells on credit. If everyone does it, so if you're in the business, so you can do the same thing. You don't have to ask any questions. But if some people do and some people don't, it's going to be awesome. So not only is there a halacha that b'stam you follow the minhag hamakom, but if there are two minhag, if it's common both ways, you have a chiyuv to do the more conservative way of running the business. Not only is it usur to do it, if you go ahead and you sell on credit, according to many paiskim, if the person doesn't pay, it's going to be your loss. You're going to have to reimburse the partner. So even though many people sell on credit, and your partner never said anything, never made a macha, still, since you on your own made a decision to take a risk with partnership money, you're responsible for any loss that happens. There is a Teres Emes that says machlokes, and as long as many people do what he says, you're going to be potter, and there's a kimli. But according to most poskim, it's certainly going to be aser, and according to most poskim, you're going to be chayiv. On that, the Aruch HaShulchan has, what about the following case? What happens if you're in an industry that everyone sells on credit? So if everyone sells on credit, and you're managing the business, so there everyone agrees, if that's the minhag, that's what everyone does, you can do that also. You don't have to ask any questions, because when you open up a grocery store in a high-mission neighborhood, everyone knows you're going to give credit. You don't have to ask any questions. But the Ramo over here says, Zagta Haga, if the partner warns you, do not sell on credit, even though the norm is to sell on credit, If you don't listen to your partner, you sell on credit, there's a loss, you have to pay. So the Aruch HaShulchan is medayik from the Nesivos, that even though everyone sells on credit, a partner is allowed to say, I'm not interested, it's a risk, I'm not interested in taking this risk. So tremendous chiddush. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, even though everyone does it, a partner can say, I don't want you taking a risk with my money. Even though you can say that, the other partners can tell him, listen, I understand you don't want to take any risks, but we're here, we're in the business to make money. And if we don't sell on credit, we can't make money. So you can throw him out of the partnership. And you can sell, and you can sell your chelik. You give him back his money, and you continue taking the risks, doing the business the way you normally run. Since the person who's making the macho is going against the minhag, the norm is to take this risk, so you're allowed to throw him out of the partnership. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan, you can never force a partner to take a risk without his haskam. And the Aruch HaShulchan points out for his daddy from the Beis Yosef and from the Goyin, not like this, that if there's a minhag where everyone sells on credit, then you have the right to force your partners, because this is a risk that is just inherent, it's part of the business, and you can force them to do it. And again, it's very mistaver like that, because when you start the partnership, if you know this is what everyone does, then these are the terms of the agreement. But the halacha of Aruch HaShulchan does not give a hachra. He ends up saying tzorachin ledina. If he doesn't do due diligence, we're going to see any time a partner is mishana or pesheya, he's going to be responsible for the losses. Now, we'll get to next week some of, Shmir Bevayil, and we'll get to some of the details. But as a general rule, if a partner is Mishana, he doesn't do what he's supposed to be doing, he doesn't follow the norm, if there are any profits, they get shared. If there's any losses, he comes out of his pocket. So it's a losing proposition. You end up, you're responsible for any Hefsedim, but any of the profits, you still share with the rest, with all the partners. Well, if he may have the authority, but I'm not so sure the authority would allow him to do things that are reckless or do things that are against the minhag. You'll have to see how the contract is worded. Is it so broad to override this halacha? Clearly, if you want to, you can override any of these halachas that you want. You can give him the authority to do whatever he wants. If you do that, you do that. But if it's going to be a broad and vague language, we're only going to override the halachas that are clearly intended to be overridden. So you want the operating agreement to be as clear as possible. I don't think normal operating agreements allow the manager to be reckless. It allows him to do the day-to-day decisions, allows him to make the normal business decisions, and uses discretion, but it doesn't allow him to do unusual or reckless things. So to reiterate, the first halacha that we had was that unless you have unanimous consent, you have to follow the minhag. If there's a minhag, there are two ways of running a business. You have to run it the more conservative way unless you have a clear haskama. If you take any chances, if you take any risks, then the person who's taking the risk is going to be responsible for any hefsid that comes out. Now, if one of the partners violates the operating agreement. So here we have an interesting Ramah. Clearly, if he breaks the rules and there's any loss, he's responsible. He has to eat that loss. But Zok the Rama, the only thing we can do to him is we can make him pay for damages. If there's a loss, he'll suffer that. The fact that he breached the agreement is not enough justification to throw him out of the partnership. The Nesivos compares this to a worker. We discussed when we were learning Hilchos Pa'ulim, we discussed the Sugya and Siman Shin Vav. If you hire a worker and he's during the job, he is mazik. He does something wrong. He causes damage. The halacha is he pays, and as long as he pays, at the end of the day, you're being reimbursed for any loss, and there's no further claim against him. However, in Siman, what we discussed back then, that's by Hefseda Dehada. He causes, you know, he breaks something, he pays, everyone moves on. On the other hand, if he causes a pseudo de loyhada, the partner is supposed to be in the store 9 to 5, and he's lazy, he sleeps late, he shows up at 10, 10:30, 11, he doesn't answer the phones. Here, he's causing you a loss, and there's no way to put a dollar amount on it. You'll never know how much business you lost because of his negligence. In that case, that's a pseudo loyhada. Paying you, reimbursing you is not enough. It's not going to undo the damage. And in that case, you could be misalokim. You may need hasra, you may need chazaka, that's a shayla that we had back then. But at least conceptually, if he's causing losses in a way that you can't, he can't make up for it, he can't make good, then you have the right to be misalokim from the shutvis. The Ma'bid adds that also that violating the terms of an operating agreement, you know, operating agreements these days are very long. There are, you know, dozens, if not hundreds, of different terms and different clauses. He says, normally, if you operate just a standard clause, nothing happens. You can bring him to Bezin to force him to honor it, but it's not grounds to throw him out of the partnership. It's only when he violates one of the fundamental clauses. You know, an example would be is you have a partnership. Each person's supposed to put in a certain amount of money. And without that capital, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to be able to do anything. So there, if he refuses to put it in, that which is one of his primary responsibilities, there you can get rid of him if he doesn't honor that term. But on a detail, you bring him to Bezin, you force him to honor the detail, you can't go ahead and tell him you breached the, you know, clause number 63, I'm throwing you out of the partnership. So we have to look at how significant the breach of the contract is. Now, another halacha that comes up very often is conflict of interest. If you have a partnership, you hire someone, you're running a store together. So over here, the Mechaber in Sif Yud wrote, another one of his examples is, HaMishtaz Mechaber B'stam, so V'lo Yasek B'schoira Acheres. What the Mechaber seems to be saying is if you have a partnership with somebody, you're not allowed to do any other business and be involved with any other business deal. Now, this halacha is brought down in Yerodea as well. The Mechaber and most Achroinim say it depends on the case. If you hire someone to run a store, so there it's clear in halacha, the person who's running the store is not allowed to be moonlighting and doing another job on the side. And the reason for that is you hire him to run the store. If while he's running the store, he's busy day trading, he's not going to give the customers the attention that they need, and it's going to hurt the business. So the Beis Yosef says that this applies only, he's running a store. You're running a store, it's a full time, during 9 to 5, during the store hours, it requires your total attention. You can't be distracted, you can't be busy making other phone calls, trading, buying, selling, watching the news. You have to be running the store. Masha Einkein, if you're just a shutif, there's a business deal, you bought some goods together, there's a real estate deal, you decide to own, you know, to buy a lot, eventually you'll develop it. So that's something which doesn't require your undivided attention. So in that case, the Mechaber holds, this halacha will not apply, and you'll be able to have a second job. It's not a conflict. Obviously, this is something which it needs a certain level of it's a judgment call. What type of partnership it is, does it require your full attention, does it not? But at least in a case where it doesn't require you to be there the entire day, there most places can hold, there's no problem with having another job. And that being said, there's a Rambam that has a tremendous chiddush. And also it's based on a Tosefta. What he says is if you're hired to, you have a partnership, and you're buying certain goods, you're buying chitim. Zok the Rambam, there's nothing wrong with on your own, using your own money, also buying chitim. We're not afraid that because you have your business and you have the partnership that there's going to be a conflict. But the Rambam says you can't commingle it. You have to keep everything separate. Whatever belongs to the partnership has to be kept separately. You sell that separately. But if you want to buy the same goods, it's not a problem. Now, this is a chiddush, because in the Achronim point out that if you have some goods that belong to a partnership and some goods that belong to you, and you have one seller, who do you think you're going to sell it to? You're obviously going to take care of your sechira first. The Achronim say, we're not choishish for that. They don't explain why not. But I guess there's an assumption that the person will, you know, will stay honest. And in halacha, you cannot stop a person from being engaged in a similar business. There's a Shvus Yaakov that has even a bigger chiddush. And what he says is, what happens if you have a part? You hire someone in real estate management. He's going to and he's take him in as a partner. You buy a property together. He's taking care of it. He's finding tenants. This person owns his own real estate in the neighborhood. He finds one tenant. What's his responsibility? So the Shvus Yaakov says, in such a case, everyone understands Chayecha Kaidun. And if there's one tenant, you have every right to take it for yourself. And when you give someone, you have a partner, when you take in a partner who has his own competing business, he says that's understood, and you have no claim against him if he goes and takes this tenant for himself. So it'll come out, it's interesting. On one hand, in halacha, you know, very often you can stop a person from taking a second job if you need his attention, you need his time. On the other hand, if there's no conflict in time, it seems like this conflict of interest, halacha is fairly mako and allows the person to be involved in a similar business, even though to a certain extent it is a level of competition, and it is possible for there to be a hefzid. The Rambam's case, the Rambam says it's not a restriction. You can go ahead and you can buy, you know, you can be Isaac in the same sphere. It sounds like even later on you can choose to do that. Now you'll have there'll be a technical issue. And that is when you're besides being a partner, you're very often paying the person for his time and for his work. When you're hiring someone to do a job, a payo might have greater responsibilities. So if you're wearing both hats, you'll have to revisit the issue and see if a payo that I'm paying the going rate to do this is now competing against me, that might be a problem. But as far as Hilchos Shutvim is concerned, I don't have the right to stop him from being engaged in similar activity. Now, one of the halachos in Hilchos Shutvim is that normally if you do business with someone and you think he's stealing from you, so halacha is nothing. A chashash, the fact that maybe you have a bad feeling, doesn't give you any rights. And you can't even make a, you have no, if you're not a bari, if you don't know whether it's true, you have no claim against the person. By shutvim, we find something called a shvuas ha-shutvim. Chazal were yared the saif daite shaladam. Partners are moira heter. Very often, you'll have a partner who's convinced he's moira heter. He says, I work harder. My partner doesn't realize how much, you know, I do more than him. And they have all sorts of justifications to skim off the top, to keep a couple extra dollars. And therefore, even if you have no proof, a chashash, you may not even need a chashash, you can always demand a shvuas ha-shutvim, that he give an accounting exactly what happened to all the money, in order to stop him from being mori heter and to stop him from taking advantage and keeping money on his own. But what happens, l'maisa, if you have two partners, and over time, one of the partners gets busy with other things, and he gets lazy, and the other partner does a lot of extra work. He then, after a while, usually first they, you know, for a while everything is quiet, but eventually the resentment grows. So he comes to Bezdin and he says, I want you to pay me for all the extra work that I did over the years. So over here, there are some very interesting halachas. If the partner was just quiet, he never complained, he never told his partner, listen, you have to be here more often, you have to do this work, then the halacha is, if you never complained, you just did the work, there's a presumed mechila. Had you wanted to be paid, had you expected him to reimburse you, you should have complained, you should have said something. And the other partner can say, had you told me, I would have helped out, I would have been there. So as long as if the person is just quiet, he doesn't say anything, he does a little bit of extra work, the halacha is, he will not have any claim. However, this is only true when you have two partners. Either of them could do the work, and one of them on his own does some extra work. On the other hand, if you have a partner, one of the partners is not able to do it, he gets sick, he's not around, and he's not able to do the work, there's no point in the other person complaining, because regardless, the other partner can't do it. He's sick, he's not capable of it. So in that case, if you do extra work, the halacha is you're entitled to get paid for that extra work. Now, not only that, if you have a partnership and one of the partners stops showing up, so then we have what the halacha is, that at least the way it's possible in Shulchan Aruch, if you do the work, you don't have to split the profits with the other partner. He wasn't there. He didn't show up to work. He's not entitled to the profits. Now, this is true not only if the person just gets lazy, but even if one partner gets sick, there's an oinus. He's not able to show up. Still, the halacha is, if he's not here, he doesn't get the profits. Zakh Nesiva is a very important chilk. He says this is true if you have two partners, they're doctors. So everyone does a certain amount, everyone does work, and they get paid for whatever work, the surgery, the visits, they're getting paid for their time. So in that case, if one doctor is not around and I'm seeing all the patients, so Eina Bedin, it's not right that I should be splitting half of my income with the other person who didn't show up to work. So that case is very clear. B'zakhna Nesiva is, what happens if together we own a hotel? Now it's true, he's supposed to be here in the office every day managing. But the bottom line is, when the hotel is full and people are paying every night for this day, they're paying to use the hotel that belongs to both of us. Zakhna Nesiva says, it doesn't make sense to say, simply because he's not doing the work, now I can rent out his chelik of the hotel and keep the money. And therefore, Zakhna Nesiva is in such a case where we're shutvim on an asset, and we're renting the asset, we're selling the asset, we're making money off the asset, there the Nesiva says, even if he's not there, he's entitled to his profits. Now you can, the person who's working can send him a bill. He can say, I'm managing it for you. I'm an artist. So I want to get paid as a hotel management company, as whatever that I can, you'll pay me for the work that I'm doing running your business. But the profits that were generated from this asset, from this thing that belonged to the, even though he's not working, even though he's being mevatel the terms of the shutvis, the halacha is he's still entitled to the profits less what management fee or whatever work the other person did.
In the first case with the doctor, does the absentee have the right to say, you know what, instead of taking all the profits, you go on vacation.
No, we're in business. You know, people are going to a shutvis. They're in business to do work. You can't force the person to take a vacation. So if right now you're supposed to be here, if the deal is everyone takes 10 days vacation, that's the deal. But if there's no deal like that, and we're supposed to be here every day, that's the norm. And you want to take off for 2 months, so while I'm working, I'm entitled to all of that income. Now, the Nesivas does add that even in such a case, if one person doesn't show up, you have the right to throw him, you know, to dissolve the partnership. He's not doing his part of the deal. But that's only if it's his decision. If he's nenas, if he gets sick, there it's not grounds to throw him out of the partnership. There we just, you can send him a bill for the work that you did. But if on his own he decides not to show up, there already he's breaching the terms of the shutvis, and there you have the right to dissolve the partnership. What you also have the right to do is, as we mentioned in Hilchos Schiras Poylim, if you hire a worker, a koblin, and he starts the job and he stops showing up, so as long as you're teifus, as long as you have some of his assets, the halacha is, you can spend however much it takes to find a replacement. So even if the going rate for this job should be $1,000, if there's no one available and you have to spend $5,000, you can spend whatever it takes and take it off the koblin's money. Zakhna Nesiva in shutvis as well. If you have one partner that on his own decides not to show up, you can hire a replacement, and even if you have to pay a tremendous amount, you'll have the right to do so and use the partner's chelik to hire the worker. But this is only when he decides not to come. If he's an oinus, if he gets sick, there, while you have the right to hire someone as an artist, pay the regular, the prevailing market rates, to pay extra and just to seize his chelik of the shutvis, that you won't be able to do. Okay, we're going to stop here for now. Just by a quick show of hands, if anybody knows, anyone who will not be here next week, show of hands. Okay, the other way, anyone who's planning on being here next week? Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we'll have the shiur. We'll continue the shiur regular schedule. Thank you.